Well, howdy everyone, and thanks again for joining me as we dive into Scripture today, and we are going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you recall back from chapter 4, Paul has been clarifying his roles and ministry along with his colleagues to the people in Corinth and wanting to make sure that they know what he is truly about and what he's there to do in their midst, and what he had done when he was present with them and when he founded the church. And now what he wants to do in writing these letters to them to help them further with different issues that they're going through. And so in chapter 4, if you recall, he really points out that they are servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. And that's how they want to be considered among the people. They want to be found faithful in serving the Lord and also serving the people there, serving Christ's church. And he recognizes, as he has been talking about the difference and the separation between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom, he said that the people should really consider Paul and his colleagues as fools for Christ's sake, right? Fools according to the world's perception, but even though the world may see them as such, because of their commitment and devotion to Christ and the gospel, they don't care. They don't mind if they see them as fools. And in fact, the congregation themselves should likewise, in similar fashion, seek to be considered as fools, according to the world's view, as they pursue and grow in knowledge and understanding of God and his wisdom, which is from above. And so Paul, you know, pointed out that them being fools for Christ's sake, the people needed to understand that though that was true, and because that is true, the people were really wise for Christ. The apostles were weak, but they were strong. The people were distinguished, but the apostles were dishonored. And in many senses, that may sound strange in that the apostles should be honored. They should be treated very well, right? Notice that Paul says that to the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. They're reviled, but in being reviled, they bless. In being persecuted, they endure. In being defamed, they entreat. Despite whatever the world may do against them, persecution, etc., they are happy, though they may struggle. In many ways, they are happy to stand for Christ and to minister to his people and seek to be faithful. And so that leads to Paul's fatherly words. He wants them to know that his desire for them is not to shame them with the things that he's saying, but he wants to warn them. And he wants to care for them and nurture them as he warns them. And I think that that's abundantly evident, even going into chapter 5, as in the end of chapter 4, he says, "What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness?" He had just talked about arrogance that was prevalent among them. They were puffed up about various things, and that wasn't good. And should he come with them strongly and harshly with a rod, or did they want him to come with gentleness and love? I think we can all agree that they would have preferred the gentleness and love. And clearly, in discipline, both in the home and in the church, sometimes discipline needs to be tough love. Sometimes it needs to be strong, like with the rod. All discipline needs to be done in love and needs to be done pastorally and fatherly, as a father does his children, in care and concern and gentleness. And so that's what then leads us to chapter 5. And that backdrop and context is actually really important, as in chapter 5, Paul is now going to deal with another specific sin in the church, a very serious sin, and that sexual immorality was present among them, and the people weren't doing anything about it. They weren't doing what they should have done. And so Paul addressed that and told them what should happen and must happen, because all immorality must be judged. The leaven needs to be removed from the lump. And so let's dive into chapter 5 here together and hear now the word of God. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you? For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Amen. Praise God for this His very word in chapter 5. And it's a hard word. It's a hard word confronting sexually immoral things that have been going on in the body and even with this specific situation. But it is helpful for us as the body of Christ to study and to know, even as it was for them in Corinth, because this is an important step in discipline when it's needed and necessary. And we know that church discipline is often hard to carry out, but it's good and it's right to carry out. It's good for the person who is disciplined. It's good for the body. And we see that here. Because as an unrepentant person continues in not being repentant, then it is appropriate to take and to work through different steps of discipline with that person, seeking to call them to repentance and for them to turn from their sins and to turn to Christ in true faith and to return to Him and walk rightly with Him. But at this point in that discipline process, it was necessary for the congregation to excommunicate that man. And so, as difficult as that may be, it was the right thing to do. For indeed, they did need to judge those and to discipline those who were on the inside, as he said. And so, praise God for this His word and His guidance and direction, especially in matters of discipline in the church. And I hope that you will have a good rest of your day. And I hope you'll join me again next time as we continue reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. God bless you. Take care, and we'll see you then.